chapter 28, after nearly 2.5 years. Today will be the last message in Matthew, but I've loved it. I've enjoyed it. It's the longest I've ever been in any book of the Bible as we go through the Bible, but I have sure enjoyed it. Today, Matthew chapter 28, verses 11 through 20. Title of the message, Do We Live to Teach? Do we live to teach? Let's read these verses. This is all after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We've taken time and examined his death. We've examined the betrayal. We examined the unjust trial. And then we examined all of the punishment that they put him in, the unjust punishment, and then his glorious resurrection and all that surrounded that. So these are in the days that follow his resurrection. So for some of you, I want you to know this, that Jesus was only here after his resurrection for 40 days. So his primary time of teaching was during that 3+ years of time after his baptism that he called his 12 disciples, he established his church during his earthly ministry, and then he taught them during those years after his resurrection, only here 40 days. This will give us some information of what was going on. Matthew 28, verse 11. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city. Now when they were going, these would be the apostles, the followers of Jesus. He says, go unto Galilee. And so now, verse 11, now when they were going to Galilee, behold, some of the watch, those that were the soldiers that were put in place to watch the tomb, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ear, which if it did come to the governor's ear, normally that would be death, because you didn't fulfill your duty. Their duty was to watch the tomb, don't let anything happen to that tomb, and they became as dead men, the Bible told us. We've seen that in previous weeks. And they failed their responsibility, and so if it came to the governor's ears, it would normally end in death. But he says this, verse 14, and if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him. And how do you think they would persuade him? Probably with money. And we will persuade him and secure you. We'll take care of you. Understand this. That lie today, look at verse 15. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. In fact, it's reported today that he didn't rise from the dead. Yes, his tomb was empty, but someone came and stole the body. That began right after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The problem they had was that Jesus was walking around. It tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 that at one time more than 500 people saw him at once. There are historical records that this man Jesus that was seen on the cross, that was certified by the experts of death, the Romans, that he was dead, he was put in a tomb, that he was walking around. And so the resurrection is critical, but the denial of it is also a critical plan of the devil. Now, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples, Judas was dead, that's why there's not 12. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. Some doubted of the 11. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. You'll see today that when Don follows the Lord in baptism, we will baptize him in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, because that's what we are instructed to do. We are to baptize in the name of the triune Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let's read verse 19 again. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Something happens after you teach them. See, we're not commanded to save anybody. I can't save one soul, but I can sure teach them. And then God does the saving. He does the saving because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. He does the saving because it's the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The good news, the message of what Jesus did. Verse 19 again. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I know some of you, I preach often. I refer often to the Great Commission. I will maybe refer to it less than I normally do today, even though this is the passage. You're so familiar with it. You know this. It's a motto that I've kept up here. There was a time I used to change the banners every quarter. I think I might die with that banner. Each one, reach one, teach one. It's the motto. I want you to understand this, that God saves people, not just to keep them out of hell, that's a great fringe benefit, but he saves people so that they can go and teach others. Teach them lovingly. So I want to ask you this. What does he want us to teach them? He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. I'm going to refer to John chapter 16. You don't have to look there today. But this John 16 is a great passage where Jesus is saying, it's expedient that I go unto the Father because I cannot send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Paraclete. I can't send the Holy Spirit until I leave. Because Jesus was taking care of that church he had already established. And he says, when I leave, I'll send the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, to come alongside my churches. And then he says this, and when he comes, when the Holy Spirit would come alongside his churches, and when he comes, he will reprove the world of three things, of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And so here's what I do a lot of times, so I'm just going to walk you through this. What does God want us to teach? I would suggest he wants us to teach those three things that the Holy Spirit will reprove the world of. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. So whenever I take those that I teach, and Don, we'll get there one day. And so just trust me, some of the disciples I have, they're like, how long are we going to be in John? I'll say, till we're finished. And so it'll be when we get to John 16, you'll know this now, Don, so just take notes and you'll be like, well, I know. So I ask everyone I take it through, I say, I want you to preach me a message, and here's your three points. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. And I said, when you preach those three points, I ought to be able to go to heaven. So what is it that you need to know? What is it that I need to know? What is it that I need to teach others about sin, righteousness, and judgment? Let me help you with this. Sin. Here's what the Bible says. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody, I've never met one person yet. I've not met one person yet in my life that said they didn't sin. So it's fairly universal. At least they'll admit it. And we know this. God tells us all we've sinned. He's written it on our hearts. But here's the thing that most deny. Most deny this, that sin will eternally separate them from God. See, they think you have to be really, really bad. And they get to define what really, really bad is. I've never met anybody yet that's bad enough to deserve hell. And so what we need to do is stop having our own opinion and see what God says. The Bible says, if I keep the whole law, yet I offended one point, I'm guilty of all. I want you to understand this. Are all sins equal? They are not. Let's not be stupid. The Bible doesn't teach that. Any sin can separate you from God. But all sins aren't equal. Would you rather me kill you or lie to you? You'd rather me do neither. But if you said, well, I have to make a choice, you would say lie. And so that's clear. The Bible's clear about that. But it's this. Any sin will separate you from God. See, what the world doesn't understand, and they need to be reproved, they need to be corrected, they need to be instructed, that sin is our issue. Sin is the issue that we have, every single person in this room, every single person in the universe. It's not about religion. I really don't care what religion anybody is from. I just ask them this, what are you going to do about your sin? See, the real issue is, it's sin, and how are you going to remedy it? What are you going to do? All the false religions, they all have the same answer. They might say it just a little bit different, but they all have the same answer. It's just be good. That's what they all say. And I'm glad you're trying to be good because it makes my life a little bit better. But see, you won't answer to me. I also know this because it tells me this in Romans. People deny it all the time. Every single person in this room, I know you know this. You know that you will stand before God one day and he will be your judge. I ask people, do you know that God will be your judge one day? And I've had people say, he will not. But I know from the scriptures that they know he will. You see, when you stand before God, and that's what the judgment is, we speak about sin, righteousness, and judgment. So sin is the issue that separates us from God. And here's the requirement of the Bible. You have to be perfect. Now, when I tell people this, they almost just want to quit listening to me because they go, well, then it's impossible. And that's the point. There's nothing you can do, Gerald. There's nothing I can do. There's nothing you can do, Randall, to make yourself right with God. See, you've got to be perfect. And there's not one person in this room that claims to be perfect. You see, I know 100% I'm going to heaven. And it requires perfection. And I'm not claiming to be perfect. You see, I want you to understand that sin, righteousness, you need righteousness. I need righteousness. See, true righteousness is without sin. True righteousness is perfection. I ask everybody this, I've never been given an answer. How are you going to get rid of your sin? See, that's what you have to do in order to live eternally with God, is you have to get rid of your sin. And how are you going to do it? A leopard can't change his spots, neither can you. How are you going to get rid of your sin? You see, sin, the Holy Spirit will reprove of righteousness. You and I need righteousness. We need perfection. How are you going to get perfection? The Bible says that there's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. It's not that God's being a bigot. It's not that God's just saying it's my way because I just want it to be. It's the only way that'll satisfy his justice. You see, Jesus is the only way. Jesus is God in the flesh, the eternal God. No beginning, no end. He's eternal, which means he's infinite. God became a man so that you could be righteous. Understand this. The only way that any of us are going to heaven in this room, it is not by our works, not by our goodness. It's by the work of Jesus Christ. You see, there's so much I would love to tell you this morning. And see, I want to tell you this. I'm telling you this, Randall, so you can repeat it. You may have heard this before, but I want you to be able to repeat it. You be able to teach it. And so that's why I say things sometimes over and over again. I want you to be able to say sin, righteousness, and judgment. You see, Jesus is the only one that died for every single person in this room. Nobody else died for people in this room. He took your eternal punishment. We'll be talking about that in a few weeks in 1 John chapter 2. He paid your ransom. But that's not enough. You must receive by faith the gift of God. It was a gift that he died for you, Bill. Isn't it just amazing? Is there anything better? Nothing better in the entire world. But that Jesus loves you, Jesus died for you, and Jesus rose from the dead. Bill, when you trusted in Christ, he took all your sin away, past, present, future, and he imputed, he deposited into your eternal account his righteousness. And you know what God sees? Not what Jill sees. He sees perfection because you're covered by his son's blood. I want you to understand, here's what the Bible says. Jesus lived a perfect life. He fulfilled the law. You see, we have to be law keepers. I'm not a law keeper. I'm a law breaker. But Jesus fulfilled the law. He completely fulfilled the law, and he obeyed all. And when he says in John 17, I have finished the work which thou hast given me, he had finished the work that enabled him to go and become the sacrifice. And then he took upon himself your sin. Sin is our issue. You need the righteousness of God. If you do not have the righteousness of God by faith in Jesus Christ, you will stand before him in judgment. It's not like God delights in that. You see, people misunderstand God and they say, oh, what a cruel God that'll damn a soul to eternal damnation, the lake of fire, for all eternity. God is just. We do not understand our sin. I'm telling you, there's nobody in this room that, if I use my logic, there's nobody in this room that deserves eternal damnation. But it's not about my logic. It's about the truth of God's word. What God tells us is that our sin is so reprehensible, our sin is so horrendous against God, that it merits, it deserves, it earns eternal damnation. See, that's the issue that we have. That's our struggle. So that's what God wants us to teach. And then he wants us to teach the rest of the Bible after God saves them, right? That's what I'm doing with you, Don. I want to teach you the rest of the Bible, right? So that you can tell others. You can tell others, right? It's my sin. I need righteousness. And if I don't have the righteousness of God by faith in Christ, I leave God no choice but to judge me. That's what he wants to teach. That's what he wants us to teach. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, to reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Now, what I want to do with this passage, I make it sometimes sound easier than it is. Who are you teaching, Steve? And you'd be like, oh, yeah, yeah. You know, I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you. I want to, if I can, lovingly press upon you to go find people to teach. I've got good news, right? I mean, I'm a little lopsided in my Bible studies. I'm thankful God saved many, and I really only have one Bible study with a lost person, but now I have a second Bible study with a lost person. It was this guy I reached out to on LinkedIn. He's going to let me in. I have a Bible study with he and his wife. And so it starts this week. So you pray for that. I'm just telling you, we need to get desperate. When I was at the funeral, where's Amy and Jesse? I want to tell you, I'm just going to tell you this. You know what my favorite part of the funeral was? I loved that the gospel was preached. It was preached clearly. That probably should be my favorite part. My favorite part was, I think he was an uncle to your mom and dad. And he stood up. An uncle stood up. This was at Amy's mother's funeral. And they gave a testimony time. And this guy stood up, and he was older than me. At least I think everybody's older than me. I just don't look in the mirror that often. 3/4 of you are older than me. That's what I think. I don't know when I'll finally admit that I'm aging. But this guy stood up. He was clearly older than me, right? Oh, don't tell me he wasn't. He was desperately older than me. And he stood up and he said, 40 years ago, Steve and Betsy just happened to drive down to Louisville, came to my house and said, hey, there's a preacher down the street. Why don't you come with us? We were just in the area. Took him to church. Preacher preached. He got saved. And then it spread to his family, and it spread further, all because your mom and dad drove to Louisville with intent that says, we're going to get him. I remember that. How many of you remember that 30, 40 years ago? And I know there's some crazy things done back there. Pack a pew. I think that was a little carnal, right? That said this, you're going to be embarrassed if your pew's empty. So, you know, people would have like cardboard, you know, cutouts you know, but I just remember this. I remember it was like a frenzy. I got to find somebody. Hey, you're coming to church with me. I don't care. You're coming. Right now, that's not good. But they had a zeal. They were pressed because they knew if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you're in trouble. Makes it sound easy, but it's not. The Bible gives us some great instruction here that'll highlight for us the challenges and the obstacles that'll be in front of us as we live to teach. You see, if God saves you, He will equip you to teach. I'm not saying necessarily from a pulpit or a Sunday school class, but it's that you'll be able to teach people one-on-one. Alberto, you know why I come to your house every Tuesday night? Because I'm teaching you so that you can what? Teach others. That's why I'm doing it. You know that's why I'm doing it? I also do love you guys too, right? Dariella, do you know why I'm doing it? And then I get back to Antonio. Antonio, you know why I'm coming? One, you were so kind to me, letting me in your home, a complete stranger, a gringo, right? You were so kind to me, and I love you, and I love your family. And I want you to help me reach more people for Jesus Christ. That's why I come every Tuesday. I love it. But I want you to never forget, why am I coming? So that you teach others, right? You see, that's God's intent, is that He saves us and we would teach others, but it's hard. I only have 6 points, and I'll move quickly. So here's what the Bible says. The Bible says we will face opposition. Look at verse 11. It said, now when they were going, and so the Bible says, go. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all that were done. We'll face opposition. I want you just to look at a few verses here, and I will get a move on it. It's not new for you guys, but I want you not to be surprised. Don't be surprised if people resist. Love them. Be kind. You can't really force yourself on people. It's a serious thing. So, you know, I mean, when I talk about yesteryear, it is. But here's our issue in the 21st century is we're so worried about offending someone. Try not to offend people, okay? I've gotten comfortable with it. But try not to offend people. If people know you care, they will have a Bible study with you. Chris is a perfect example. And an atheist has a Bible study with her. And the atheist looked at her, another woman, woman to woman, and said, I hope you keep meeting with me even though I've rejected everything you've said. And Chris is like, oh, I'll keep meeting. Because the atheist doesn't understand the power of God, doesn't understand the love of God, and we're beginning to watch God subdue her, are we not? I don't even know if she's aware. Oh, but one day, I can't wait to hear those words that she goes from death unto life. And so it's just you keep plugging away. There's nothing like it. But you're going to get opposition. And so here's what the Bible says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not vain. Paul speaking to this church at Thessalonica. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, so they were shamefully entreated, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. So Paul, you know the story of Paul, he'd go into a city, preach, get beat up, and leave. Go into a city, preach, someone would get saved, get beat up, and leave. And so Acts chapter 5, look at this. These are the apostles. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, that was the reward for doing what God told them to do, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. You see, this life is but a vapor. This life is but a shadow. This life will be gone before you know it. It's why I joke about me possibly getting old. It's crazy. I'm telling you this. I don't think I've met anybody else. I used to know a guy that raised 3 children. It feels like it was some lifetime ago. I used to know a guy that worked in corporate finance for 25 years. It seems like some lifetime. I get no emotions when I walk, when I drive by where I used to work. I'm like, that looks familiar. I don't know, something, I don't know. No, it's not that bad, but you know, but it's, so working for income, you know, that's Adam's fault. But I want you to understand this. Life goes so fast. You want to live for Jesus, you're gonna suffer. You're going to suffer. Here's what's interesting. Look at verse 12 to 15. We've seen this. I said people will lie about what they know to be true. They concocted this lie. I'll share it with you. We've read it. So the chief priests and elders who were so anti-Jesus, they knew that what happened was real. And they said, hey, here's the story you need to tell. Here's a bunch of money so that you won't turn on that. And if it comes to Pilate's ears, we will make sure that he knows, it's okay, Pilate, we've got this under control. Here's a little help to encourage you, Pilate. People will lie about what they know to be true. Don't be discouraged by that. I know this. I know that people know the sin on their heart. I told you one time I was talking about a guy. I said, I know you've done this. And he goes, you don't know me. I said, I know somebody that does. And he goes, who do you know that knows me that knows I've done that? I said, his name is God, and here's the verse he told me that you did this. There's a little laughter. But after a while, he understood, you see, don't be discouraged if people act like what you're saying is not impacting them. I tell you over and over again, I've been in planes, I've been in restaurants. I forget, I was in a restaurant with somebody the other day, and somebody came up and thanked us. And I've had meals paid for, so I'm even louder than before. And so, but it's this. It's God has told us to go teach. But some people will lie about what they know to be true. I want you to look at this. This is interesting. Matthew 24, it just tells on the end times. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. Well, let's not be deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am in Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. In these end times... You know, we've been in the end times for 2,000 years, so there's a little mocking that the world does. Oh, you've been looking for Jesus for 2,000 years. We're still in the final days, but in the final minutes. Don't be surprised. Don't be shocked that you're going to have some pushback. Jesus told us that, so he tells us that here too. People are more interested in money and worldly security. Do you see what caused these soldiers to agree to tell this lie? They gave him a bunch of money, and they said, "We'll take care of you." I will tell you, if you ask me, the hardest people to reach are those that have enough money and enough security, they don't need Jesus. But I will tell you, most of them understand the emptiness of life. Just get them to let you teach them. You don't have to attack anything, just teach the Bible. You teach the Bible and God will do a great work. But understand this. This is our issue. Oh, Christian, do you know why we don't do what God's told us to do? As long as we got enough money and our family's okay, then everybody else can go to hell. We would never say that. But don't we live that? I love Darlene came up to me this morning. And sometimes you guys act like I remember every single thing I said. So she did today. She goes, "I got my one." And I'm like, what are you talking about? I love this. Darlene, she went on vacation, and one of her good friends from Louisiana. And she went on vacation with her. And this woman's in her 80s, right? So Darlene's friend, Darlene was able to, she said, she's always said when I've asked her, "Do you know for sure that you have a home in heaven?" She says, "I hope so." Well, Darlene got to share with her the truth of God's word, and her friend trusted Christ. And now Darlene's a spiritual mama. And going to have some FaceTime and teach her. And she's texting you and asking you questions. And there's no greater joy, is there? I will tell you, it makes life worth living, because I'm just guessing you've got a few eeks and creaks that I don't have yet, right? Maybe not. Are you feeling that good? That's good. That's good. All right. So I need what Darlene has. But I love this. Darlene, that's why God kept you alive. For His honor and His glory. And there's, what's your friend's name? Johnny. I knew. See, I couldn't remember. I was like, I knew it was, okay, I'll say this. I knew it was kind of a guy's name, right? So Johnny, you know, everything going through my mind. Bruce, I thought, no girls, Bruce. But okay, that's a bad joke, but I didn't mean it. But that was a Bruce Jenner, somebody got that. Anyway, that wasn't intended. When I said that, I was like, oh, that I need to scratch that one. But anyway, isn't it a thrill? And so I want you to understand this. The work has just begun. You know, because God's the one that does the saving. Let me ask you this. What's the harder part, raising kids or having babies? Raising them, right? So when God gives you a baby, spiritual baby, it's your job to teach him. I was teaching Clay yesterday, and sure enough, Josiah happened to drop two bombs while we were having a Bible study. And it was like, Clay's like, "No, I just cleaned you." And if only Josiah could talk, he was like, "Kept a little bit held back for you, Dad. Wanted you to get some more practice." What a pain. And so then we're in this room, right? And Deanna walks in and goes, "Oh, it smells like poo." And then the haunting part of that is like, I haven't noticed. I'm acclimated to it. So hard work, isn't it? Making babies, easier than raising babies. So I want you to know that's why the Bible gives us two teaches. But if you're going to do the work of God, you need to understand you're going to face opposition. You need to understand people lie about what they know to be true. You need to understand people are more interested in money and safety and security than they are Jesus Christ. Fourth, to be effective. Look at this in verse 16. I love this. I've moved past this verse too often, too quickly. But God's just working in my heart that I need to slow down, and this is important. To be effective, look at this verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. He took them alone, took them aside. He wanted to isolate them. He wanted them to be focused on Him. We need time alone with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to understand this. I've said this a lot, and a lot lately. I want you to be doers. I want you to go reach people for Christ. But if you do that in your own strength, expect to fail. We must spend time alone with God. We must spend time alone with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, the only way I know it will happen is if you schedule it. Jesus said, "You're coming with me." You want to reach people for Christ? It's not in your power. It's in His. We talk about abiding in Christ. We have that new song. Are we singing that new song again tonight? Where's my wife? We're singing it again. There she is. I love that you switched seats, so it's good. And so, I know I'm happy about it. I'm happy about it, right? So you can just spread the love, right? But it is, I want you to understand this. We are so busy, we don't have time to spend alone with Jesus Christ. You know what I would tell you? You need to change your calendar. If you're too busy to spend time alone with Jesus Christ, then you're too busy. I'd rather you not do the wash, not do the dishes. And those are things you should do. Men, we should help out with that too, okay? That wasn't an enthusiastic amen, right? That was just one guy saying amen. But I want you to understand this. The work of God is an eternal work. You can't just go out there and flimmy-flammy do it on your own. He took him aside, and he told him, and he had him aside. This is interesting. I love verse 17. Look at verse 17. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Every single one of these 11 were believers. I want you to understand this. You're going to doubt. You're going to have excuses. You're going to say, you know what? God won't use me. You know what? I'm not you. Be excited about that, right? Be excited that you're not me. All you can be is who God created. He gave you your personality. He gave me my personality. I need to submit my personality to Him and obey God. So I want you to understand this. Doubting is normal. Don't let your doubts paralyze you. Know what God has commanded and go out and do it. Just obey. Don't wait until all your doubts are gone. If all of your doubts are gone, you won't do it. I bellyache more than anybody in this room. I schedule things with people, and I'm like, why did I schedule that with him? And then I see the Lord move, and I'm like, I'm so glad I scheduled that with him. You must understand, we're always going to doubt. We're always going to wonder. We're always going to regret. Oh, I don't want to meet with them. And then you're glad because God meets with them. I want to encourage you. I've done this all my life. And I you guys sometimes think I'm a robot. And it's like, you know, I got this slowed down. I'm telling you, who was it that told me something the other day? Let me tell you, I was kind of blown away. Who was I with? I was with Joshkin. Joshkin always helps me see what I don't see. So I was having lunch with a friend of mine on Friday. There's a young lady and a young man that I had a Bible study with many years ago. And they were living together unmarried, and I don't even address that. I just teach them the Bible. Well, the young man got saved, and I still disciple him today. He lives up in Urbana. And their relationship broke up. She wanted nothing to do with Christ, and so that was just they weren't married, and their relationship broke up. And so I've continued to disciple him the last 3+ years. He told me 2 weeks ago. He told me, he said, and I don't, it's okay if I say her name, but he said, Becca is dying. And it's Dakota. Dakota's 27 years old. She has this rare disease. There's a GoFundMe page to try to help this special cancer treatment for her. And I prayed for Becca. And I've been praying for Becca this past Friday, but Josh Kendall, I was having lunch with him, and somehow we went I think I was sharing with him the testimony of your mother's funeral, Amy. And so we went, and then it kind of shifted me over to say, well, this young lady that I know, she's dying. And Josh kind of looked at me and said, have you reached out to her to see if she'll meet with you and Deb? I was embarrassed. I was like, no, but I was going to. I never even thought about it. You see, Deb and I are going to reach out to her, and she may say no. But I'll tell you this. I'm going to try one more time. Now, when I met with Becca, she's the one I've told you about, right? We would meet up in my office around this little glass table about this big. And when Becca was sitting across from me, she'd be like, wouldn't look at me. Talk about awkward, right? I mean, it was like, hey, how you doing? Hey, I'm going to get eye contact. And but I didn't try that, but it's the word of God would subdue her. She would sprint out that door. She's either going to submit to God or run. See, some of you today, you can't wait to get out that door. See, God's word's either a repellent or it'll draw you. And so I want to challenge you with this, is you're going to have doubts. Let me tell you the doubts that are even with Becca. It's been a little rough. She's been rough, you know. I told you the first time I ever went out to eat with her in Dakota, I was going to ask her, I said, well, you know what most people are afraid of? And what I was going to say was, I was going to say, looking spiritually dumb. That's what I was going to say. And I looked, I said, well, you know what most people are afraid of? First time I ever met her. She goes, meeting a guy like you. And I'm like, well, I mean, that's what she said. And just maybe, Deb, God might highlight her mortality. And we'll be able to teach her again. And so I'm going to have a ton of doubts because I've got past history. Hasn't been easy. But I want to tell you this. You know what I love? I love looking around this room, and I love knowing your stories of how you came to Jesus Christ. There's nothing better. Don't expect anybody to be saved if you're not teaching. But you're going to doubt a ton. Final thought. Look at verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Never forget, we go in the power and authority of Jesus. I was struggling this morning. It's not about feelings, but I like to feel ready to go, hit that pulpit with just great freedom and just ready to go. And I wasn't. I was dragging. Just felt heavy spiritually. And I had to remember my own preaching. George, if I come in my own power to this pulpit, you'll leave empty, and you might not know that I came in my own power. I need to come in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He sent me. He sent you. And when you go in the power and authority of Christ. And I want you to go believing, just believing this, that He will at least be with you. I don't know who is going to be saved. But I'll tell you this, you should have the confidence that when you go in His power and in His authority, and that ought to help us with the previous thing, get over our doubts, right? There's so many Christians that are faithful to church and they don't have the joy of having a baby, a spiritual baby. Don is why I live. I want some more Dons now. And now I'm going to teach Don. Is your granddaughter here that you talk about? Is that you right there? How old are you? 10. Did your grandpa give you a children's Bible storybook? So I'm going to help you guys out here. You know, he talks about you, and he loves you. And the reason I gave him that children's storybook is he wants to teach you about Jesus. He wants to teach you about God. And I'm telling you this, he loves you. Do you know your, what do you call him, Papa? Grandpa. Yeah, I'm Papa. I like that better. But Grandpa, Don's a lot older than me. And so, but I want you to know this. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. When Grandpa comes with you, I want you to get that book. Say, Grandpa, let's read a couple pages. Because he'd love to. He wants you to know the Jesus that he knows. And he loves you, and he talks about you. He's got 14 grandkids. Am I right about that? We talked about all the 14, right? I mean, Tillery's took care of half of that, right? But but he loves you. And he wants you to know the Jesus that he knows. I want you to be encouraged. We don't do this alone. We go in the power of our God. You're going to have doubts. You're going to walk out this door and you're going to be, I'm ready to go. Maybe you'll go out to eat today and you want to talk to the waitress, and then you'll come with 37,000 reasons why it's just not the right time. And I've skipped too many waitresses and waiters. Todd, you encourage me. Arlena Just don't be discouraged, right? The devil even wants to discourage you with that, right? It is, they met Arlena. She was a waitress. They got another waitress that is expressing some interest. I know she's ghosted you a little bit on text, but you know, here's what I tell people. Keep texting them until they say, leave me alone. Nobody's ever told me to leave them alone. Nobody. You know what I find out? Except for my wife, but other than that. But people don't want you to leave them alone. They just want to make sure you love them. Are you living to teach? Let's pray. Father,